Well, Miss Everdeen, I wanted to ask, would you like to marry me? I've never asked anyone before.
No. I should hope not.
Well, perhaps I should leave.
Miss Harry, there are things to consider.
Is someone waiting for you?
No, but that doesn't mean I'll marry you.
Good day to you, then.
That was Carrie Mulligan as Thomas Hardy's famous heroine Bathsheba Everdeen, turning down poor farmer Gabriel Oak's proposal of marriage at the start of this new adaptation of Hardy's brilliant novel Far From the Madding Crowd. Set in the 1870s in rural England, this is the tale of a spirited, capricious, and vain woman called Bathsheba Everdeen, and the three lovers who colour her early life and her journey to becoming a more mature and measured woman, and finding her true partner in life. It was most famously made into a movie in 1967 by John Schlesinger, in which Julie Christie played the heroine, and her three lovers were played by Terence Stamp, Alan Bates, and Peter Finch. And even though I haven't seen that film for many decades, nor indeed read the book, it is a film that is so iconic that scenes still stand out very powerfully and viscerally to me today. And it's a shame in a sense that any new film stands in the shadow of that original. And as much as a reviewer should try and disentangle the two experiences, it's often very hard. So let me first start by saying that I love the Schlesinger movie. And this movie by Thomas Vinterberg, the Danish art house director, has many merits and is certainly worth seeing. I don't think it's as unified in its quality, maybe is the way to put it. It has one or two weaknesses, but they are not fatal. This is a really wonderful film to watch. So for any of you unfamiliar with the book, this is going to be a spoiler-free review. And the basic story is as follows. Bathsheba Everdeen is a young, beautiful, rather vain girl. We first see her rolling down in a carriage with all her belongings, looking at herself in a mirror. And she excites the admiration of a quiet, steady farmer called Gabriel Oak, who proposes to her very early on. But she refuses him. She just cannot picture herself living a dull farmer's wife with this very steady and serious man. And very soon afterwards, their fortunes take a turn for better and worse, respectively. She inherits her uncle's farm and becomes a woman of property, which makes her in some respects an anomaly in this society. And he, unfortunately, in a horrible accident, loses the farm he's renting and becomes just a farmer for hire. And so rather wonderfully, this rejected lover Gabriel Oak, becomes Bathsheba Everdeen's employee. That's kind of the first act of the story. The second sees a second lover wander into Bathsheba's life, but this time it's an old and very rich local squire called Mr. Boldwood. And because he is the only man who isn't moved by her beauty, in a fit of pique, Bathsheba sends him a very provocative Valentine's card, which in those days is enough to excite his erotic interest. He also proposes, it's a very handsome offer of marriage. And rather than rejecting, she keeps him dangling. And unfortunately, Mr. Boldwood is the kind of character that, once stirred, is greatly moved. And it's a dangerous game that she's playing. In the end, however, she ends up marrying a chap called Sergeant Troy, who was a callow, feckless, vain, and cruel man in some respects. And so that really brings you to the climax of the first hour of the film. I won't say much about the second hour, except that you see the consequences of Bathsheba's actions, and you see how her interactions with these three men affect her attitude toward life. It's one of the most wonderful portraits of a woman coming of age. It's really up there, I feel, with Henry James' Portrait of a Lady. In this movie, we are more or less taken by David Nichols, the screenwriter, in a very faithful way through the story. So all the major plot points, if you've read the books, you'll notice them. So Gabriel Oak saving Bathsheba's farm in a fire, the famous scene where he saves the sheep, like all these iconic images are definitely in there. But somehow there are subtle changes with which altogether alter the tone and the tenor of the characters. And it's not that I'm a book purist, I just think it takes something away from the richness and certainly the darkness of the novel and makes for a rather more banal film. So for instance, Bathsheba Everdeen, as played by Carrie Mulligan, and I think she's wonderfully cast, she really is a worthwhile heir to Julie Christie in this role. She's pretty, but she has a mischievous little smile on her face when one of her plans comes off. But her Bathsheba is a much nicer character than the one in the book. She isn't really vain. She isn't really capricious. Actually, she's rather sensible from the start. And when she takes possession of her uncle's farm, it's almost more of a feminist move. She wants to astonish the world of men. She wants to be independent. When she turns down Gabriel Oak's offer of marriage and even hesitates over Mr. Baldwin's, it's because she doesn't want to give up the responsibility for her farm. And again she makes the point, I'm happy to be alone. That's very different to the Bathsheba of the books, who rejects the first offer basically out of vanity. And the second, well, again, you know, does she really want to be with a stuffy old man? The result is that the character arc, the narrative journey, is much narrower for Carrie Mulligan's Bathsheba because she actually starts off rather sensible. And because she starts off rather sensible, it's kind of hard to see why she wouldn't have accepted Gabriel Oak, because they make such a good couple from the start. The bizarre thing, actually, given that Thomas Vinterberg has cast a Belgian actor, Matthias Schoenaerts, as Gabriel Oak, is that he, to my mind, is almost the closest to his character in the books. Very steady, very earnest, no nonsense, knows when he can push his power to. In some sense, is a really amazing man because he has enough strength to allow the woman he loves to be strong. So, of course, he doesn't sound English. He doesn't even look particularly English. And at first that's jarring, and I know a number of critics have really pulled him up for that. But actually, I think that he absolutely stays true to the character of Gabriel Oak. And seeing these two lovers come together is really rather wonderful. I really enjoyed that part of the film. The best character by far, though, is Mr. Baldwin, played by Martin Sheen. And this may be, I mean, Martin Sheen's done really good cinematic work, actually, so why am I saying this may be his finest role? But he really does steal this movie, this old, erotically repressed and then obsessed man. It's such a tragic role, and it's played with such lightness, and there's almost a sense in which Mr. Baldwin, when he confides in Gabriel Oak his love for Bathsheba, is aware that he's making himself look foolish but can't help it. It's so nuanced and so brilliant. If I ever watch this film again, it will be for that performance. And I don't want to overdo it, but I even thought, watching this film, maybe Martin Sheen should be up for Best Supporting Actor nods when it comes to Oscar season, because it's just such a lovely performance. The character that is the most changed, though, in contrast to Mr. Baldwin, who's actually absolutely off the pages of the book, is Sergeant Troy. And oh my goodness, if there is an Achilles heel to this film, it's Sergeant Troy. Partly it's the way the character has been written, and as in the case of Bathsheba, the character has been softened. So crucially, very early on, there is a scene in which, because of a mix-up, poor Sergeant Troy is jilted. He stood up literally at the altar. And we're meant to feel very sorry for him, and I was kind of concerned at this point watching the film, thinking, oh, is this the way we're going? And there's never any of the harshness in the way the scene's written compared to the books. In the books, the lover who's made the mistake, who goes to meet him after the wedding ceremony has fallen through and explain herself, is cruelly tossed aside because his pride and vanity have been hurt. Whereas that's not the case in this film. In this film, he never gets that explanation and so goes on feeling hurt. And so we're meant to feel sorry for him, I guess, pretty much all the way through the film. It's just a very, very weird writing choice from David Nicholl and from director Thomas Vinterberg. And again, I don't think the film is helped by it, because Not that you need to have a villain, but you need to see how comprehensively wrong Bathsheba has been. And you need to see her humbled by this mistake. So it goes toward, again, the narrowing of her character development, which I find very, very sad. And I think also, unfortunately, underacted. Poor Tom Sturridge just looks too young, too thin, too out of his depth. And that, I think, was the secret of John Schlesinger's 1967 film of Far From the Madding Crowd. The four principals, Julie Christie, and then crucially her three lovers, Alan Bates, Peter Finch, Terence Stamp, were equally weighted, both in terms of their charisma as actors, but also their heft, the quality of their acting. And I think you need to have those three lovers very well balanced. And in this movie, it felt like Martin Sheen's Mr. Boldwood was in a level of his own. And then came Gabriel Oak, and then a very distant third came Sergeant Troy. I mean, Sergeant Troy's meant to be a devilish seducer. My goodness, this guy couldn't seduce himself out of a paper bag. So that's all rather sad. In terms of the behind-the-lens stuff, I think Thomas Vinterberg does a decent enough job. Dorset looks very pretty. There's probably a little bit too much lens flare for my liking. Certain things have been recast. There's not that sort of feeling of the open rural countryside that you had in the 67 original, but some of the choices work well. We have the seductive swordplay scene in a dark, forested, gloaming wood, which I think captures that transgressive, seductive nature of the event very well. But it's nothing exceptional. It's really nothing exceptional. So do, if you love the book, and even if you haven't read the book, do go and see this film, because it is one of the all-time historic, beautiful love stories. It really is worth seeing. And there is a tragic flaw. It is the Sergeant Troy character, but don't let that put you off, because there's enough else in this film to keep you well occupied. So if you've seen Far From the Madding Crowd and agree or disagree with my take, then please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at bina007.com. Otherwise, all the usual information after the outro music.
The gardener's son was standing by. Three flowers he gave to me. The pink, the blue, and the violet true. And the red, red rosy tree. And the red, red rosy tree. But I refused the red rose bush. And gained the willow tree, that all the world may plainly see how my love slighted me, how my love slighted me.
Far From the Madding Crowd has a running time of 119 minutes and is rated PG-13. The film is currently on release in Denmark, New Zealand, South Africa, the UK, Ireland and the USA. It goes on release in the Netherlands on May 7th, in Iraq and Ukraine on May 14th, in Belgium on May 20th, in France on June 3rd, in Hungary on June 11th, in Brazil and Greece on June 25th, in Romania on June 26th, in Kazakhstan, Russia and Singapore on July 2nd, in Spain, Lithuania and Norway on July 6th, in the Philippines on July 8th, in Germany, Israel and Portugal on July 9th, in Austria on July 10th, in Poland on July 17th, in Sweden on July 31st, in Italy on September 10th, and in Macedonia and Serbia on October 22nd. Thank you for listening.